Let us take Psalm 1.
Onnam sangeerthanam.
Psalm 1. And let us read it verse by verse. It's a very familiar passage for us. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Hallelujah. Let us give thanks to God this morning. Hallelujah. For his goodness, for his faithfulness. Hallelujah. The way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Blessed are you. Hallelujah, children of God. Blessed are you. Children of God, you are blessed this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, King of Kings. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, you alone are worthy of all glory, honor, power, and praise. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the psalm that we have read. We pray, God, that you will speak to us and minister to us. I lay, Father, Lord Jesus, surrender all of us into your mighty hands, Lord. Will you minister to us this morning? Will you speak to us from the Word of God? Will you touch our hearts today? Will you transform us? Will you make us more like your Son, Jesus? We love you. Teach us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may all be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we are here gathered to worship the King of Kings. And our God is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. This last week has been a blessed week. We had VBS for the last 3 days. And, you know, we were learning different things. We learned action songs. We watched about the light and the sun. And then the children yesterday did a wonderful program. And I want to thank everyone who participated, also the parents who took the initiative to make sure that the kids were participating and involved, and also the kids themselves. If you didn't show up, we would have no VBS. So thank you for joining. And it was a blessing. I know everyone put a lot of hard work into it. Thank the Sunday school department, especially Reggie Uncle, took a lot of hard work, even though he was busy. You know, in midst of work, he ran to and fro to make sure that everything ran well. May God bless our church, bless the youth, bless the members of our church. You know, so this morning I was reading this psalm, and the psalm is a very familiar psalm to all of us. All of us have heard different messages from the psalm. It's a psalm that we often teach our youths to by heart from a very young age. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, on which he meditates day and night. And the verse goes on. We all know this passage. We have read it in Malayalam. We know it in English. We have heard sermons on this. Very often the sermon goes from verse 3. It reads, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. And often that's connected with Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8, which talks about this tree that produces fruit in season and out of season. In fact, that was a message that I said last year around this time. So I know this message. I know that this is something that you have already heard before and heard about. But this morning, as I was meditating and asking, as I was waiting on the Lord told me to go into this psalm and to focus on the first verse, which is, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And I want to pause there for a little bit. this verse is often verse that we use when we tell our children also, be careful who you hang out with, who you're meeting, who you're talking to. And we say like, you know, you should not be with wicked people. You should not be with the scoffers. You should not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers. And so this is a verse that we often admonish our children and tell them, make sure that the people you hang out with, the people you are with, are not wicked, they are not sinners, they are not scoffers. And then when we study the Jewish history, this verse is often taken literally to mean that you cannot literally go into the house of a Gentile. We know this. And in fact, the Jews would only sit and eat food with their family. Why? Because they didn't know if the other people were safe or not. They don't know if they're sinners or scoffers or mockers, you know. So they would only sit with people who they know very well and are very close to. So meals with Jews were special. They don't just sit with anybody. They have to trust that you are someone who is righteous, someone who is good, someone who is not a sinner, someone who is not a scoffer, because then they will not be blessed. Now, how many of us don't want to be blessed? We want blessings. All of us want to be blessed. So when we look at this passage, often the Jewish people took it to the point where they would not even enter into a Gentile's house. They would not sit and eat with people who they felt were sinners. In Jesus' time, who were the sinners? The drunkards, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the soldiers, the Roman people. Those were the people who were considered to be wicked, sinners, mockers, scoffers. But we know our Lord Jesus was someone who did not abide by those rules. In fact, one of the big problems that the Pharisees had with Jesus was like, why does your rabbi or your teacher eat with sinners? None of our rabbis do that. Have you not read Psalm 1? Why is Jesus your rabbi sitting with sinners? Sitting with tax collectors? In fact, he is even going and blessing Canaanite people, telling good stories about Samaritans, telling a Roman centurion that there is no faith like this in all of Israel. He is going to people who are non-Israelites and telling them that they are much more faithful than his own people, the chosen people of God. Can you imagine that? If Jesus comes today and is preaching a sermon and starts saying that, you know, I have seen more faith in a Hindu temple than in this church, will you guys tolerate it? Of course not. What would we do? We would probably take him out and stone him, right? That's probably what we would do. Who's going to listen to this guy? What does he know about our church? That's probably what we would say. Which is very similar to what the Jewish people did back in the day. They were offended. They had every right to be offended. All the Pharisees were offended. You know, so the religious people of that time and the religious people of this time are not much different. We are the followers of Jesus, I agree. But at the same time, we have the same mentality as the Pharisees, unfortunately. We are all about religiosity. We are all about keeping traditions. We are all about following rules without the heart of Jesus. So when Jesus looks at this verse, he interprets it differently. In fact, Paul reinterprets the scripture later on in his letters, and I will go to that in a bit. But the reason why I'm sharing this verse to us this morning is because I want us to be not just followers of Jesus, but to be like Jesus. God is calling us to be not just to be his followers, but to be like him, to live like he did, to love like he did. And we are called in the footstep of Jesus, to do what Jesus was on this earth. He came to set the captives free. How can we set the captives free if we are not going to where the captives are? Jesus went and approached Zacchaeus. We know Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up on a sycamore tree. We know, I don't know if you guys know that song, but we learned this in Sunday school. He climbed up a sycamore tree to see where Jesus was. And then Jesus came up to the tree and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming down to dine at your place." All the people were shocked. Doesn't Jesus know who this man is? He's a sinner. He stole money from us. He's a tax collector. He's working for the Romans. He's working for the enemy. Jesus goes to his house. When Jesus was invited to a Pharisee, Simon's house, someone named Mary comes, brings an expensive alabaster jar of spikenard. Spikenard, that is one of the most expensive, perfumes in the world at that time. It took literally a year's salary of a well-paying job to buy this alabaster jar. So, for us, that can be somewhere between, let's say, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of perfume. Comes and brings it at the feet of Jesus and breaks it at the feet of Jesus. If we were there, what would we have said? Could have used it for some poor people, no, for some charity. Why you wasted it here? I'm telling you, we are no different from the Pharisees. The same thought processes they had, we would have thought. We don't like to put ourselves in that spot, but we are the same. When Jesus came to the Pharisee's house and Simon was thinking, you know, why did Jesus allow this person to come and approach him? Doesn't he know? I thought he was a prophet. Doesn't he know what kind of woman she is? She's a sinner. And then Judas in the background is like, could have used that money for some poor people. How many charities could have supported? Secretly, he wants the charity because he's taking some money and putting it in his pocket. So, he is thinking of charity for his own sake. But he is saying, yeah, let the poor people be helped. This kind of mentality was not mentality that was in Jesus Christ. Jesus did not allow sinners to stay away from him. Jesus went, in fact, dined with people who were sinners. He went and dined with drunkards and sexually immoral people. And the Pharisees thought, what kind of teacher is he? If you read this verse again, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So, does this mean that this scripture is no longer valid? It does not apply to us? Did Jesus not apply this verse? That's not true. To understand this verse, you have to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 onwards. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 onwards towards the end, till verse 13. It reads like this. Paul is writing, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. So Paul is saying the same thing. Do not associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you will have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother / sister, if he or she is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Now when we go back to reading that psalm, blessed is the man that, you know, when we get that reference of standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffers, what is the psalmist really talking about? About people within the church. I know this message will not bring a lot of joy and hallelujah and shouts of praise, but I hope that I'm trying to tell you that God is not telling to avoid the people of this world. Paul says, if you are going to avoid the people of this world, you have to get out of this world. If that's the case, we cannot travel in the bus. If that's the case, we cannot go to the restaurant. If that's the case, we cannot sit in our offices. They're filled with wicked people and evil people. There are sinners everywhere. Paul is saying, if I tell you to not hang out with immoral people, then who can you hang out with? Nobody. That's what the Jewish people were facing. They were like, we're not going to hang out with Gentiles. We're not going to eat with people within only in our community, only within our family, only people we know really well. We'll sit down because they're afraid of breaking this law and commandment. But Paul says the heart of this commandment is that there are people among you. In fact, in that chapter talks about grave sin within the church. The people within the church are more wicked than the people who are outside the church. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, don't have anything to do with such people. Such people, don't even eat with them. Don't even talk to them. Let that wicked person leave from the midst of you. I'm not speaking this because there is wicked people among us. You can all relax. I'm not thinking of any single person in this church. I think I know most of you, and I believe all of you are godly people. I don't see any evil person in this church. So don't have to worry. Is he looking at me or he is talking about me? Is that why he has not come to my house so far? That's not the problem, all right? That's not what I'm trying to say. The reason why I'm saying this is when we often teach this, we try to think about not hanging out with people of this world. But Jesus did the exact opposite. The disciples did the exact opposite. In fact, all the missionaries that came to India to serve, they came to the houses of sinners and heathens and shared the gospel and ate food with sinners so that the gospel can be shared. So it is not about eating with sinners or scoffers. It's saying within the church, make sure that the people who you are around you are living righteous lives. We cannot judge the people of this world. Outside of this world, they don't have any law of God. They don't have the covenant of God. They don't know the commandments of Jesus. They live however they want. If you look at the outside people who live and they do anything, can you tell them that, God said, do not look lustfully or else you have committed adultery? Can you quote verse to them? No. They don't care about our words. They don't care about our scriptures. But the people who are in the church, who are coming to worship God daily, who are coming to give their hearts and surrendering their lives to Jesus, we are called to keep each other accountable. If there is someone who is doing something that is hurting the body of Christ, children of God, out of love, we should correct our brother and sister. Remember, I keep saying, we are one family. I want to share a funny story and I'll kind of wrap things up. When I wasn't there, but like my wife was, my wife and I were there, yeah. So we were traveling in a car. We were in Texas. And as we were traveling in a car with some people that we knew, this is a pastor and pastor's wife, and we're going to go to their church. So Pastor Auntie is saying, there is food, there is some special occasion, so there is food after the church meeting. And Pastor Uncle was like, you know, maybe we should stop and buy some Coke, some ginger ale, some, you know, 7-Up and all of that for after meeting so that people have something to drink, right? Like when you go to someone's house to drink, there is Coke, ginger ale, something, you know. And Pastor Uncle is like, no, we should not give that. Pastor Uncle, why should we not give? Like, we are telling our children not to drink drinks. Soda, pop, we tell them not to drink that because it's unhealthy. So then why we should give that to our church children? They're our children too, right? Then Pastor Uncle was thinking, me and Betty were like, what do we do? We are stuck in this conversation. But like, they're asking us for our opinion. We both drink. So we like, not drink. What I meant is drink soda. Okay, so we drink soda. So we're like, we don't want to comment on anything. But they both are asking our opinion. What should we do? We are, the children, the people within our church are our family, so we should not get them unhealthy stuff. And I say, I can see your point, but I think our children will be happier if there is soda. And so ultimately in the end, I think they ended up getting a bottle of water and Diet Coke. So but it's a funny story, but I'm trying to illustrate this point that when we come together, we are not just one, multiple families. We are one family, right? My son Jedediah is all of your sons. Your children are like my children. Your parents are like my parents. My parents are like your parents. There is so much respect and love because we are one family. But you know, everything in a family is not always perfect. Family gets messy, especially when it comes to discipline. But when we are disciplining one another, we tell this to our children, if I don't correct you, who will? Right? Parents often say this. If I don't correct you, if I don't tell this to you, who will tell you? Pastor will tell you? Will your uncle tell you? Will your Sunday school teacher tell you? We tell that. But in fact, we are one body, so we have to correct one another. If the shame comes on one of our kids, that's our child that is in shame. Does that make sense? What I'm saying makes sense? What I'm saying is because we are one family and we are together, we also have to keep each other accountable. So if you see me doing a mistake, tell. Pastor Joel, what you did was not okay. That was not right. How you handled that situation was not. You are my family. If I don't hear from you, where will I hear it from? Does that make sense? We are one family, one unit. So we are called to keep each other accountable. But the other side is, because we don't see each other like family, sometimes because of the problems, there are painful separations that happen. But can family really be separated? Family always comes back together. Family should always stick together. That's what we tell our kids. Wherever you go, you're my son, you're my daughter. That's not going to change. So then why do we think that the family relationship within church is disposable? No way. We are one family. We are tight. No matter where we go, even if God takes us out of this church and puts us in some other church, we are still one family. We are one members of one body. So when we come together and there is someone who doesn't abide by that rule, they are sinning, we correct them. But if they are continuing in sin, then we take an extreme action. We don't sit with them. We pick the wicked person and put them out of the congregation. We will not allow wicked people within our family to influence our family. In the same way, this psalm Blessed is the man that standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Is in regards to church. We have to judge one another. We have to hold each other accountable. Out of love, out of righteousness, God is calling us to live holy lives. I pray that this message, even though it might be a little bit heavy and harsh, I pray that this message is not targeting anyone within this church, within my vicinity, or anyone I'm thinking of directly. I'm saying God is calling us to be like Christ Jesus. Let us go out in the world, meet the people who are captives, who are in brokenness, in sin, on the street, don't have houses, don't have places to live, who are living in broken lives. Invite them to our houses. Give them food. Give them water. Give them a good shower. Take them to the hospital if they need. Give them counseling. Share with them. Be the good Samaritan to them. But within the church, if there is someone who is causing problems and dissensions, don't even take a phone call from such a person. Hang up on the phone with them. Because those people are not members of God's family. Amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, we submit ourselves to the word that you spoke to us this morning. Father, I thank you that we as a church are one family. We are one family before you, God. We are covered by one blood. We are all members of one cup. We are all members of one loaf of bread. We are one family. Lord, within this family, there might be issues that come up. There might be arguments, maybe issues that might come up. But Lord, I pray that your grace and mercy will come and smooth everything. We are close together. But God, I pray that, Lord, you will equip us so that we can go out to the world and be the hope, be the light, be the salt, just as we taught our children, to be the light of this world, to be the salt of this world, so that they can see the good works and praise the Father in heaven. We surrender our life to you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen.